Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond a life of mediocrity to the life of victory that God makes available to every one of us, even those of us who are married. In this day and age, as we look around the country, statistically, we see marriages seem to be coming apart at the seams. What we need are people who help put them back together. And two of those people are with us on the air now. David and Denise Glenn, founders of Cardo Ministries, just come back from a trip to Cuba. We had them on a few weeks ago, and we're titling this Reclaiming Your Marriage, Part 2. You may remember last time when you were with us that we talked about the special gifts, or you might call them keys, that can be given from a husband to a wife and a wife to a husband to unlock the full potential of a very healthy and happy marriage. And we talked about three gifts. And before I introduce what we did already, David and Denise, thank you for being with us today.
We are so blessed. Thank you, Bill. Thank you for including us.
Thank you. We love to be on this show. Thanks for having us.
So we thank you. And we talked about insecurity and intimate communication as two of the key gifts that a husband should give to his wife. And the third one we barely touched on, which was sincere praise. David, can you define that for us a little bit?
Yeah, I'd love to, Bill. You know, I remember when Denise and I were really, really struggling. We shared a little bit about that last time. But in our struggles, I remember picking up a book by Dobson, and you know, Dobson, I really respect him, and he had a book called What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Women. I love that title. And when I read that book, it was real kind of convicting because Dobson did a study of Christian women, and he talked about, you know, he's a psychologist, what is the source of depression among Christian women? And, you know, read the book, and it's come to find out that the number one source of depression among Christian women is low self-esteem. And I remember for me as a Christian husband, that was very convicting. And it pretty much says to us as Christian husbands, we're not doing a very good job on, you know, encouraging and our wives. And so for me, this was a huge, huge challenge because in my marriage, one of the sources of struggle and challenge and really, you know, conflict was my critical tongue. And so it was a real convicting book, as well as the Lord just worked in my heart. And so for me, the challenge was, how can I, in a genuine way, really sincerely praise and encourage my wife, you know, in a positive way? Because, you know, I kind of came from this negative glass is half empty, you know, background, very negative, you know. And so with that kind of background, all my words come out just negative, critical. You know, and it was really bad for my early marriage. And so God began to change. But one of the things I was challenged to do when I was really asking the Lord, you know, how can I turn that around, was I was challenged to go to the book Proverbs chapter 31. I think you look at verse 10, there's a set of scriptures in there called A Wife of Noble Character. And so I was challenged to take that scripture, and as I read it on my quiet time, you know, only God, to read that and put in my wife's name, substitute that wife as my wife. And, you know, God did an amazing transformation in my thinking over that course of time. And I began to see over time, you know, what a gift Denise was to me and is to me. And slowly but surely, the Lord, you know, really began to transform my heart and change me. And I began to really see the gift she is to me. And so God used that in my life. So I guess my challenge to us as men is, if you're struggling there, you know, that's a great place to think about starting, you know, praying in your quiet time, praying praise for your wife, thanking the Lord for what a gift she is. But it was a huge, huge change in my life and made a big difference.
That makes sense, David. If we start in our prayer lives, it can work itself out into the rest of our lives. Denise, tell us why praise is so important for the woman in a marriage.
Well, especially for a stay-at-home mom, and, you know, a lot of moms work and there are different challenges, but for a mother, a wife and mother who's staying at home, she doesn't have the natural reward system that comes, you know, if you're in a work situation. And so the words from her husband mean everything. It does to any woman, but for especially for a mom who is staying at home, when she hears encouragement and uplifting words, just something as simple as thanking her or appreciating the meal that she's cooked or the clothes that she's washed or, you know, just any of her work that she's doing at home, the way she handles the children, just little words of appreciation and affirmation and encouragement, just it's just hard to explain how important that is. On for a woman who's at work and is challenged by balancing her family life with her work life and all that she's carrying, just hearing that her husband is with her and for her and on her team, a woman needs to know she's on the team with her husband. He's not on her back. He's on her team. And that they're pulling together. And when he just blesses her with encouraging words, it just does everything for the heart of a woman.
Certainly praise is important, as you say, for the women and for the man to an extent, too. When the Bible in Ephesians 5 says, you know, women, honor your husbands, I think there's a certain subtle praise that comes, a sense of respect for the man that is needful. Wouldn't that be true? And maybe this leads us into the three gifts the wife gives now to her husband. Should we go dive into that, or do you all want to add
a little
more?
Yeah, let's do.
Okay.
Let's do.
Get us started, Denise. What's the first gift?
Well, the first gift that a wife can give to her husband is to make him head of the home. And, you know, it is not a part of our popular culture in this day and time, and women's movements and all that have been going on since, you know, the 60s and the 70s. But God's word is so true. And when a wife gives her husband the gift of leadership, you know, a man cannot lead his home if he doesn't have a follower. You can't lead anything if no one's behind you. And so the Bible says that a wife should honor, respect, and even submit to her husband's leadership and authority. And we can argue with that all day long, and certainly I did in our early marriage. Oh, my goodness, I wanted to have nothing to do with that. I'm a very independent person, and I'm a leader. God has made me a leader and given me a lot of leadership ability. But when I chose to put my husband in a position of leadership, and I did realize that it was mine to give him. I mean, I had to put him in that position over myself and over our children and give him the authority. I mean, it was his anyway, but really to put him in that place of honor in our home, it radically changed our marriage for the better. It put both of us in a position of where we could really love each other and care for each other. As I showed more respect and honor to David and his decisions, that's really where it came down to, was allowing him to make the final decision. Everything from how to spend money to where to put the kids in preschool. Of course, I brought my brain to the marriage, and I gave my opinions and my thoughts and brought all my research about these ideas and these decisions we needed to make. But I said to David, sweetheart, this is what I think. This is my opinion. I'm praying for you because you need to make the final decision for our family. And once we got that peace in place for our marriage, David began to show me the kind of love I'd been craving and became more tender and soft with me, and it just encouraged me to show him more respect. And it really put our marriage on track. For the first time, our marriage got on track, and we actually can truly say, after working very hard to get that all turned around, took us about 3 years of turning our marriage around, we were in love again. And we can honestly say now, after 42 years of marriage, we're still in love, and we still practice this. I'm not a slave, and I'm certainly not passive. The Bible doesn't call a woman to be passive. We're supposed to be submissive, not passive. So I still bring all my thoughts and opinions, but you would never have two CEOs of a company, and you don't need two CEOs of a family. You need a president and you need a vice president. It works in companies and it certainly works at home. So that's the first gift for a wife to give her husband.
Makes good sense. And yet there are people who would say this, and you can pick who's going to respond to this one, but when it comes to husband-wife relationships, it's kind of based on what you're used to, the old traditional marriage where the man's kind of in charge of things, and in modern marriages where they have an equal say, they're co-partners in life. And after all, that whole thing in the Garden of Eden, when it says he shall rule over you, that was part of the fall. It's all part of the sin nature, but men don't need to rule over them anymore, because when Christ is in our lives, we're all loving each other and everything's fine. How do you respond to that?
Well, we tried that, Bill. we actually tried that the first 7 years of marriage. We drive our marriage, early marriage, was 50-50. You know, the problem with that, though, was it was 100% didn't work. And, I'll give the Lord credit through Denise. The way it worked for me, Bill, is when Denise started really changing, and the Lord just started working hard on this domestic thing. And let me tell you, a really simple, practical way that came through to me, she began asking me questions. You know, not that she didn't ask questions, but she never really sought my, leadership in ideas and thoughts and questions about what she was doing or not. And just a simple, simple thing of starting asking me questions, it really, I began to see, and realize in me, I got to make some changes. Because in a way, she was kind of forcing me to be head of my home by asking me all these questions. And so in that, way of honoring and submitting to me, it made me understand I needed, godly help. And so that's when the Lord began really to do a work in my life, realizing, I don't have the wisdom to make all these decisions, And it got me really serious about my relationship to God and really began that transformation, that intimate relationship with Him that I needed to leave my home. And so what I try to, my deal is I try to share is that, it's easy for Denise to submit to me, when she sees I'm submitted to the Lord. And that's kind of the way it worked. As Denise, submitted to me, kind of first got my attention, that's when I was like, what? I need to submit to the Lord. I need to get on my knees and ask for His help to lead my home. Mm-hmm. And that was truly transformational. We give God all the glory for what He did in that time.
And of course,
go ahead.
I'll go ahead then.
I was just going to say, one of the questions, I've been working with women for over 30 years. And of course, as you can imagine, I've heard every question imaginable on this subject and have heard really the cry of women's hearts. And here's what I usually hear when someone wants to push back on this. And man, I get it, because I was there, and goodness, I'm not perfect. I still feel that way sometimes. But here's the critical piece of the puzzle. That's the important thing for women to remember, is that the Bible didn't demean women. It doesn't demean women. Jesus never demeaned women. Jesus elevated the value of women. And so our value as a woman, our price is far above rubies, as it says in Proverbs 31. But our value is inestimable because of what Jesus did for us. And of course, the Bible says there's no difference between male and female, Jew and Greek, slave and free. We are all one in Christ Jesus. That is our value. Of who we are in Christ is absolutely equal. Of course it is. I don't have less value than my husband. Of course I don't. The difference is my role. It's just a position. It would be like saying if you walked into a company that the president was more valuable than the worker, the secretary. Well, that's not true. These are human beings that have intrinsic, wonderful value as creations beloved by God. They just have a different job. And in our family, once I realized David has a different job and God has assigned him a job in our family, and God gave him broader shoulders than he gave me for him to carry the weight and the responsibility of the family. And God made me, have that sensitive and tender heart, and God gave me everything I need to be have the nurturing role and all that. But I just have a different job. I have a different job to do in our family. And once I began to understand that It had nothing to do with my value. Then I could accept my role. Where I hear women struggle is they hear the word submission and they think, God thinks I'm not valuable, or God's telling me that a man is more valuable than I am. And in their hearts, they know that's not true, and it isn't true. The truth is we are all one in Christ Jesus, his beloved children whom he died on the cross to save. So it has nothing to do with that. It just has has to do with our role in the home so that the home can be peaceful and function beautifully. When we follow God's plan, it works, and it's wonderful. So the first gift is head of the home. But we'll have to move on to the second.
Not yet. I just want to add this. I teased you with some scriptures, and the one in Genesis about he shall rule over you. Y'all didn't speak to that. Let me just say what you'd probably say also. Ephesians 5, the only real text, the main place we see the call for wives to submit to husbands, though it's a theme in the Bible, it's the specific word submit. It starts by saying submit to one another. And, of course, the husband's role is to love your wife, to lay your life down for her. And any man who does that for his wife, she can't help but respect him. So I think the idea of rule over you, there is a sense after the fall in which someone takes charge. But with the reclaiming redemptive power of Christ, when the man, as you said, Dave, the man submits to the Lord, what happens? We get that love in our hearts, and we see the command to love our wives. We lay our lives down for them. That is one heck of a good deal.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is so true.
And honestly, I tell women, the men actually have a way harder job. You know, to submit to Christ by laying down his life for me, wow, you know, that's a tall order. So, yeah, just God's plan for the family works. When I was a young wife, Bill, I so struggled with this. In fact, my mentors began to pray for me that I would have a soft and tender heart and begin to show my husband respect and honor. And I was like, don't even pray for that. I don't even want to go there. Forget it. And they just laughed at me. They said, oh, okay, so how's your marriage going? And at this point, it was horrible. It was terrible. I mean, we were just constantly in conflict. And they said, okay, well, maybe you might want to try it God's way. And I said, I wouldn't know where to start. And they are the ones who challenged me. Denise, ask him questions. Instead of giving him orders, ask him questions and just see what happens. And it made a radical change. It was amazing.
Wow. Okay, you give us the second gift, Denise, wife to husband.
The second gift a wife can give her husband is a strong physical, sexual relationship. And while we don't talk about that in church very much, we probably should, because the Bible is so clear that as husband and wife, we give each other the gift of sexual satisfaction. The world has so perverted and convoluted the idea of sex that, you know, it has become this perverted sense of way outside of what God intended. But the Bible is so clear that man and woman, that husband and wife, inside marriage, are to come together, one flesh, body, mind, and spirit, are to come together as one. And in 1 Corinthians 7, it tells us we're not to deprive each other of the satisfaction of our physical bodies coming together, but we should actually serve one another in this area. So when I talk to women, I just tell them, you know, as a godly Christian lady, inside your marriage, you ought to be the sexiest thing there ever was, because your husband, you want him to come home to you, to your arms. He doesn't need to go outside of home to get this need met. What breaks our hearts for David and I, what we're seeing in the last probably 10 years within the church, within Christian marriages, the number of men who are addicted to pornography is just an epidemic. And we are so brokenhearted about what we see of the destruction of marriages because of this horrible addiction to pornography. So when I talk to Christian women, I just talk to them about, I mean, that's a whole nother issue and would take a whole nother broadcast. But for women, just to talk to them about making it a priority to love their husbands in this way. And it's a gift. I just tell them, hey, you are the only human being on the earth who should be giving this gift to your husband. And he's going to come to you, and you're it. You're the only one. You should be able to tell your husband, you are my man, and this is amazing, and I love what we have together. It's private. No, we don't talk to anybody else about it. It is our wonderful thing that the two of us spend time together to make it a priority, because it is precious.
Okay, so what happens when the relationship isn't really all that warm with affection, and the woman's motor is not exactly running, and the man who can be turned on like a light switch, and, you know, he's saying, okay, let's go. And she's like, I don't feel like it. David, talk to us.
Well, this requires a real sensitive, you know, touch from a man. But I think a man in this area has to be very, very sensitive to where his wife is and understand they all really are created differently. You know, and Denise is, I like what she talks about, these 12 steps to intimacy. And it's just part of the guide for women on how to really handle that. So I'm going to let her speak to that.
Well, you know, I mean, anybody can Google it. It's out there. That Focus on the Family has it out there on their website. But it's just what I talk to women about when their motor's not running and their husbands are, you know, the race car. If they can start with the beginning, and that is just eye to eye, just eye contact, and hand to hand, just holding hands, putting our arms around each other, you know, embracing and cuddling, and just beginning to talk to both husbands and wives about how to get on the same page, is to start in those very simple, gradual things that actually made us fall in love with each other in the first place. You know, remember the time when just holding hands sent an electric shock through your whole body, you know, it's just amazing. If we can go back to those gentle and sensitive times where we were spending time with each other, just looking into each other's eyes and holding hands, this is what can help a woman come on board with where her husband is. But I talk to women, too, that the greatest enemy for a woman is exhaustion, especially women with small children who are physically tired. Especially if they're nursing a baby or whatever, and they've got people touching them all day long, and all they're waiting for all day is just, let me have a shower and fall in bed. So talking with each other, communicating with each other openly on where they are and what they need. But for husbands, if they can just take their wife in their arms and just sort of those non-sexual cuddles, you know, eventually her heart can warm up. And for most people, they can get together with their love life.
Okay, we're going to take a break now, and I've got a very delicate question I'll ask when we come right back.
You are listening to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. To discover more about Beyond Words and the other ministries of Scripture Awakening, visit us on the web at scriptureawakening.com. While there, you can learn about our amazingly successful Bible reading program, B90, or Bible in 90 Days. You can review the extensive catalog of our versatile Bible study series titled Be Next. You can also download free podcasts from all Beyond Words programs. Check out B90, Be Next, and Beyond at scriptureawakening.com. Here once again is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome back to Beyond Words Radio. We're talking with David and Denise Glenn with Cardo Ministries about marriage, specifically how to reclaim our marriages. Now, the principles you're hearing here, of course, can enhance any marriage. And if a marriage seems to be falling apart, they're especially valuable. We've been talking about the gifts now that a wife can give to her husband. And the area we're on now is a strong physical relationship, that sexual intimacy. It's a delicate subject, and I want to say it this way. David, I asked before about the idea of the man taking initiative if the woman, you know, just is kind of not there. But doesn't the man still, on some level, while being careful and delicate and focusing more on the relationship emotionally first than physically, so the woman has a desire, there is a sense in which I suppose the man should take initiative. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And you know, what I've discovered, it took me a while to figure this out, Bill, but, you know, for a woman, the non-sexual things that we can do as a man is what really is attracts them to us physically. And let me explain what I mean by that. What I've discovered, you know, after many, being married many years with Denise, is that the more I open my heart to her and share the real David Glenn, you know, the who I really am, the things I think about, what's on my heart, what are my ambitions, my dreams, my concerns, you know, and really being able to share the real me with her, it's just physically attractive to her. You know, I actually don't understand that. You know, I don't, but that's just the way God made a woman. And so I'm sharing this this is a tip for all men out there to say that, hey, you know, the more willing the more open we're willing to be to share our hearts and who we really are, it's actually a physical attraction for women. And so, you know, that, the being open intimacy with intimacy, just in sharing your heart, you know, just the holding, the touching, the gentle things, the small but little important things we can do as men to show love. I mean, and the big thing is that sometimes it doesn't require a lot of money. You know, I spend a lot of money to do things. You know, I used to, one of the little tips, you know, 3M has a sticky note, you know, and I used to, you know, just brought a little simple appreciation on a sticky note, just to stick it somewhere in the house, on the refrigerator, on her mirror. You know, just to let her know you're thinking about her, she's important to you, and this is those little but romantic things to a woman that really is very meaningful to her. And so those are the things I think that really we forget as men. We get off sidetrack, but for me, that's the difference that made me understand how to be more intimate with my wife.
Denise, is he on target, or is he just making this up and hoping it works?
He's right on target, absolutely. You know, I've told him, you know, of course it's great when he buys me something, et cetera, but it means actually more to me to get one little flower in the middle of the week for no reason, or to find a little post-it note sticking on my mirror or down in my makeup, you know, drawer that just says, I like your face, or, you know, just silly little things that just touch my heart, and it makes me feel closer to him. And for a woman, the physical relationship, you know, it starts in her brain, and she's, you know, the more she feels close to her husband, the more open and responsive she's going to be physically. I did want to say there are reasons why some women are really close to the physical relationship and why some really struggle. When I'm in a conference or I'm somewhere and somebody pulls me aside and says that I can't let my husband touch me, 99% of the time I can just look at her face, and I usually ask the question, can I ask you if there was sexual abuse in your past? Did somebody cross the line? And usually the tears start flowing and they say, yeah, I was 10 or I was 12. And so when to a woman who's had this experience and has that damage in her soul and in her heart where there was sexual abuse and now it has come forward and it's affecting her marriage, I just want to say, please go get help. There are wonderful Christian counselors who can walk this through with you. You need a prayer partner to walk through it, and you need some counseling to walk through it. There's an inner healing that needs to take place deep in the heart of a woman who's experienced this kind of abuse and damage to be able to get past it. I've seen beautiful stories of victory where God has really redeemed that part and really healed those places, and there's been forgiveness and there's been cleansing, and it's just amazing to see a woman walk out of this and then be able to embrace her husband and for the two of them to experience the intimacy they both long for. But if there's a barrier and a wall in their marriage, this is one place where I would say, has there been something in the past that has caused this wall and this barrier that you just can't get past?
That's great, great advice. For all of us, where we've got hurts and pains, we should open ourselves up to people we can trust who help us find healing. That's the state we're meant to walk in, health from inside out.
Right.
So important. So if we're healthy and we're not pulling back because of woundedness and fear and the like, baggage we're carrying, there may be times we abstain, even in the verse you mentioned in 1 Corinthians about not withholding to each other. He then says, except for the purpose of prayer. What does that mean? David, what's that mean?
Well, you know, Bill, I think what that is trying to say, you know, there comes a time when we need to pull back and really, it's like fasting. You know, fasting is spiritual focus. Now, fasting can be food, you know, it could be media. And I think in this particular case that you described there, it's sexual, you know, intercourse. It's sexual activity. And so I think the scripture there is saying that, you know, there's going to come a time when you as a couple realize, you know what, we need to not focus on the physical. We need to focus on the spiritual here. And, you know, and we've done that. I mean, we have said, you know, preparing for a conference or something like that, we have said to each other, you know what, we need to focus on what lies ahead here, you know, and really focus our spiritual energy on what God is saying and taking that time away to, you know, put that aside so we can focus on that.
Very good.
Then we come back together, you know, and enjoy that afterwards, you know. But it's just a time to think about it, a time to have some focus away from the physical.
So does that mean, Denise, if you've got a married couple, they're really spiritual, they'll be in that state all the time?
No, in fact, what I tell women is, I guess, the published national average for healthy couples is to come together sexually twice a week. And some women just, you know, and then others say, oh, wow, that's not as much. And so their range is anywhere from once a month to, you know, every day. I mean, some couples. And so for every couple, it's totally different. But this is what I say to women. If it has been 4 or 5 or 6 months since you've come together with your husband sexually, something is wrong. That is a big red flag. We're not supposed to be in a sexless marriage. That is not what the Bible teaches, and it's not right. God gave us sex as super glue. It is super glue to bind us together. It's not a post-it note. It is super glue. Post-it notes have glue that if you attach it and detach it, there's no damage, right? That's not sex. Sex is like super glue. Once we're bound together physically, it binds our hearts and our spirits. And God made it that way so we can go through the storms of life. And sex is not just for procreating babies. That's a wonderful product of it. But it's to bind our hearts together. God gave it to us. So our marriages, Christian marriages, should be rich and full and wonderful and sexy. That's what God intends.
Denise, you mentioned the problem of pornography, and I'd just like to bring us out in this one context. If a man, you know, has real interest, the wife is holding back because she feels like he's got another lover, and it's seen on the internet. It's stuff he's looking at. Is that a legitimate reason to pull back on the physical intimacy until he gets help?
Wow, that is a very delicate and difficult situation for any woman to find herself in. And I would say the first thing is that needs to come out in the open. It doesn't need to be a secret. And for most couples that we have counseled and talked to, that's one of the temptations, is for the man to keep it a secret. And then even when a woman discovers it, and usually they do, amazingly, usually they do, they'll find it, the websites that have been looked at, or something will tip them off, or they'll see the extra charges on the credit card, you know, of things that have been bought. And so when it comes out and they know about it, it needs to be brought to the light. Anything left in the darkness is not going to get healed and not going to get dealt with. So when it comes out into the light and the two of them can talk about it, porn is such an insidious addiction. It is as insidious as crack cocaine. It is bad news. And couples that are in, that have this in their home and in their marriage need help. They need help with those who are trained to help. Really, they need deliverance for this to come out and for this to be broken over their family and over their lives. So you ask, is it right for a woman to step back and not to be a part of? I can't answer that. For each woman, situations are so unique and so different. I do know that this woman needs help. She needs a prayer partner. She needs a counselor. She needs people who can walk with her as well as with her husband. It's like, you know, with Alcoholics Anonymous, the alcoholic goes to the meetings, but then there's Al-Anon for the spouse, and there's a support for the spouse. So both of them need help to have deliverance from this situation.
It's a tough thing, and I think because we've touched on the subject, let's just say a word about how someone who's addicted to porn can get help. And I'd like to start and say what you said is exactly right. It needs to come out in the open. We need to be honest about it. There are times maybe if there is an affair that just coming right out in the open, get some help first yourself privately. Don't destroy your marriage over it. Get some help. And then with the advice of a counselor, you know how to bring that out. But porn itself, if you're addicted, it is like cocaine. You can't just walk away from it easily. You can fool yourself, but you will know when you're set free. And it's not going to come overnight. You need counseling. You need people to hold you accountable. But there's a Holy Spirit dimension. When you mentioned deliverance, Denise, I think there is a dimension of the spiritual realm where we need people who can help us take authority and get completely clean, clean.
Right.
You guys want to add anything there?
I guess the only thing I'd add, Bill, you know, is what I can't remember when we talked about this previously, but, you know, the sexual relationship is what we like to call body oneness. And, you know, body oneness is defined as legitimate physical pleasure with deep personal meaning. You know, so when we say body oneness, you know, it's really an outflow of spirit and soul oneness. In other words, when you have that spirit oneness with your wife and that soulmate oneness, you know, the body oneness is a natural outflow of that. And so that's the way God meant it, you know, for it to be. And so, you know, but unfortunately the enemy has so counterfeited that, and that's what we're talking about here. You know, pornography, the sexual physical attraction is so strong. It's a huge counterfeit that the enemy uses to wreak havoc in men's lives, but in just homes and families. But, you know, people are so wanting really close personal relationships that they'll use physical pleasure to relieve personal pain. You know, and that's how the enemy has really done some huge damage, because it is such a physical high, you know. But, again, it's a counterfeit. It's not the real deal. And so when we get it right, as God intended to be, it is amazing. You know, that's what's so wonderful about sex. It's God's idea. He invented it. You know, it's his deal. But when we do it his way, it is one of those way more than we can think, ask, or imagine things in a marriage. And that's my personal testimony.
Yeah, and we're talking about more than just marriage, aren't we? When we live in holiness, none of us can claim we're perfect, but we get free of addictions. We get our minds so set in Jesus that we're just on fire for him. Life could not be better. And all we're talking about to everyone listening is get the very best life God's designed for you. It's all joy. It's peace. It's the very place you want to be. And God will bring you there. It's his will. But you might need others to come alongside you who are trained in this. And some folks who are addicted might need to take time out for a few weeks, go to a camp for recovery. Why don't you all tell us about resources, either books, camp, you know, where can we focus people who want some help?
Two of the authors, a husband and wife team, who I believe he's a doctor and she's a nurse, have written some amazing resources in the area of physical intimacy in marriage. Clifford and Joyce Penner, P-E-N-N-E-R. You can find them easily online in Christian bookstores, but they've written three or four wonderful books that are just have practical help, practical instruction. They have books for newlyweds. They've got all kind of resources. And God has really given them, I think, revelation and just wonderful instruction. And they come from a medical background, and so they godly people who've really written some great books. We encourage people read and talk about them together as a couple and have open communication. This is one of those subjects that even people who've been married a long time find it taboo to talk about sex and kind of bring it out in the open. But we encourage people just between you, between the two of you, husband and wife, to sit down and discuss the issues and maybe some of the problems, but even the joys or how to be more creative and keep the spark in the marriage. It's important, and it needs to be a priority.
Okay, and if someone is deep into an addiction in this area of sexuality around porn and the like, Folks and Family does have excellent resources. They're one of many places you can go, but just call their hotline. They'll point you to a camp. They'll find counselors. They'll help you find people near to you. Let's go on. We've got one more gift that you're holding.
Yeah.
We want to know what we should give to these, the wives
well,
to the husbands.
The third gift for a wife to give her husband is exactly the same as the third gift that a husband gives his wife, and that is sincere praise and encouragement. It's easy for women to be critical and to nitpick. I mean, I'm just speaking for myself, but I've talked to a lot of women, and it's just easy to find the faults and kind of get focused on that. But when we flip that around and we really think of ourselves as honoring our husbands with our words and just encouraging them and lifting them up, the scripture that helps me a lot is Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up, that it may benefit those who listen. And, you know, just really letting that kind of be the scripture that instructs my tongue so that my words are not tearing my husband down, but really building him up. I like to think of it as having a gold medal. We've all seen the award ceremonies in the Olympics where they put that gold medal around somebody's neck and they are shown honor for the things that they have done. You know, your husband's probably not going to win a gold medal in the Olympics, but when he comes home, he needs to feel like he is, you know, the man, the king of the castle. Even just small things like, honey, I love the way when you come home from work, you put down the stuff from work and you get on the floor and play with the kids. I love watching you just roll around and have fun and be silly with the kids. Or thank you so much for helping me, you know, clean up the kitchen. I was so tired tonight. Thank you so much for staying in here with me. Or, I mean, just a million things that we see our husbands do. Honey, thank you for working so hard for our family. I know it's not easy, and sometimes work is so challenging. I really appreciate the fact that you got up and went to work today. Just encouraging, uplifting words from a wife can just make a huge difference in a man's life.
David, is she off her rocker? Does this stuff really help?
She is so spot on, Bill. I tell you, you know, us guys, we go to the office, you know, we get beat up at the office, we get beat up, you know. There's just not a lot of encouraging words, really, from the world out there. You know, they're always looking at how smart we are or how good we look, and we never feel like we measure up. So to come home to a wife that's encouraging, uplifting, that, you know, I tell you, that has just been amazingly helpful to me as a man. And I'll give the Lord a lot of credit for how he has spoken to me through my wife here. And, you know, I'd have to say, you know, I've been in the oil and gas business most of my career, and that's a pretty, it can be a very stressful career, you know. And, boy, I tell you, I can think of many, many times where I have been stressed out big time. But my wife has come on. She knows me. I mean, nobody knows me better than she does. And she knows that there's something wrong, and she'll probe me a little bit, and cheer maybe a little bit. But she has really had the spiritual maturity just to, you know, pray for me, you know, as a husband. And her prayers for me during those really, really difficult, stressful, you know, sometimes weeks on end has just really lifted me up and gotten me through it. I'm not sure I'd have made it through some of those times without her and her encouraging prayers. So, the words she shares from her heart just says she's the practical thing. But also, I just want to add to that that her prayers for me, the encouraging, uplifting prayers for me, have just been so such a blessing to me throughout my whole career. That's really brought me through it all. So I just thank her for that. Thank the Lord for that.
Excellent. If you're just tuning in, we have with us David and Denise Glenn with Cardo Ministries, and we've been talking about how to improve our marriages, whether they're in shambles or just need to get better. Now, David and Denise, we have just about 5 minutes left, and I want to ask you a couple questions to pull all this together. First of all, if someone's got a really good marriage, is there always a place to make it better?
Yes. we never finished. My mom and dad celebrated their 70th wedding anniversary this year. Not too many people make that. They're 88 and 90. And I asked my mom that question, and she started laughing at me. She said, honey, you never finish. Because about the time you think you get each other figured out, what you change is, and, you know, life continues to change, and we age, and your marriage takes on a different look. And 3 years ago, David retired from 40 years of his career, and our marriage changed and our life changed. So we're constantly rediscovering ways to love each other and really ways to practically give each other the three gifts we've talked about. For David to make me feel secure and intimate communication and sincere praise, those things look different now than they did when we had small children at home. And now for me to make him head of our home, well, he's also head of our ministry. And so there, it just, those things change as we age. But it's like, it's like having something made of silver. You just continue to polish and polish and polish, and there's just a beautiful patina that happens.
Wow. Now another question related. What about the marriage that seems to have no hope? Is there actually any marriage in the world that if the couples both want to see it fixed, but it's so bad they feel like it can't be because maybe, here's the common line, I married the wrong person. You know, is there a marriage like that that just you can't repair?
I don't think so, Bill. We've come across some pretty horrendous, horrible-looking situations where, you know, on the outside, if you just look at that marriage, you'd say, there is no way this is going to work. And I can think of one particular couple of years ago, we were, you know, counseling, and, you know, it really did have that appearance. It was just completely looked like a complete train wreck. There's no way it's going to be saved. But God has the power and the authority and the truth to bring out, you know, actually to bring out the truth in the situation, to reveal the lies that sometimes we'll believe in and bring healing. And so I want to just, if that seems to be your case out there, I mean, that's part of the reason we're in ministry, Bill, is because we believe, you know, we had such a horrendous start to our marriage. We tell people, if God can heal our marriage, he can heal anybody's marriage. And so my word of encouragement to really one, all of us really out there, is that God's in the business of healing hearts. It does require a lot of forgiveness, a huge amount of forgiveness, and a huge amount of grace. You know, we've been given a lot of grace through Jesus, and it requires us to give that kind of grace to each other in our marriages. And that's the key to bring, in my opinion, bring healing. You know, someone's told me there are 10 words that can save your marriage. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Forgive me. I love you. And, you know, those are just simple words, but they really say a lot about, you know, the keys to what keeps a marriage together is that forgiving grace, because we're not perfect, we're going to make mistakes. But in those particular situations where it looks like there's no hope, it's when God has come in and revealed the truth, you know, to that situation, and the healing starts when we begin to have forgiveness and grace.
So in conclusion, if someone's listening, they say, I want more of this. I'd like to see these guys in person. I'd like to bring them to my church or have a conference with them as speakers and teachers. How do they contact you?
Go to our website, cardo.org, cardo.org, or go to our Facebook page, Cardo Ministries, and we would love to connect and see how we can help and serve in places. We've been all over the United States and around the world, and we love to go and see God's work.
Okay, thank you. This has been David and Denise Glenn on Reclaiming Your Marriage, and we thank all of you for being with us on this program.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of scripture awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you'd like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.